All right. Good evening. My name is Dan. I'm a fourth year student at Christ College. Some of you may know me because I play soccer with you on Monday nights. Some of you may have seen me around. But how about we start with prayer? Father, we praise you and thank you that even though our eyes may be closed right now, as we pray, would they be opened to Christ? That they would be open to see the vast eternal horizon of Christ, his person, his work, and his power at work in us. Amen. A friend who lectures in dance once told me, "Yo, Danny, what attracts your reaction, brother?" What he meant was, what attracts your reaction when you see someone move or live a certain way. Our reaction is an inspired reaction to what we've seen. And in the same way, the way we live, the decisions we make, the how and why we do things is a reaction to what we've seen. We live by what we see. For example, we see a wise person who has gone years ahead of us of where we want to be, and so we follow their footsteps to shape our lives to look like that. Or it can be something simpler, like when we cook dumplings. The way we've seen mum do it, that's the way we do it, because that's how mum does it. You see, living by what we see can be seen throughout all of life, even from when we're little, like the 4-year-old that copies uncle's graffiti and draws on the house walls, to the student who tries out drinking in high school to fit in, or to the adult who is inspired to leave his job and open his own business like his successful friend did. You see, what we see inspires and moves us. And in the same way, what moves us in our daily lives by what we see has a direct link to our prayer life. Also, we pray for what we see, don't we? Our circumstances usually become our prayers. We are limited by what we see, and in doing so, our prayers are limited to what we see. So, what do our prayers reveal about us? Well, today we're going to learn from Paul's prayer here. So, let's keep our Bibles open. And let's get into the word. The first point that Paul is praying is that he's praying, knowing that the sovereign God is at work in the Ephesians. And so he thanks God for his work in the believers, verses 15 to 16. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Why does someone give thanks? What is the reason that Paul starts the prayer? For this reason, he says. And if you actually look back at verses 3 to 10, Paul is praising God for every spiritual blessing the believer shares in Christ. Just quickly, if you don't know what the term in Christ means, it's the status of the believer who is united or in union with Christ in his death and resurrection by faith. And so he is in Christ. He shares the status of Christ. And so quickly, back to Paul. Paul is saying, praise God, because you and I, Christian, we share in Christ the blessing that God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He's saying, praise God, because in love he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. He's saying, praise God, because in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. He's saying, praise God, because we have been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that We, who were first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And praise God, because you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Paul is listing these things off and says, you, Christian, who put your faith in Christ, when you heard the gospel of your salvation by the Holy Spirit, God has blessed you with all these things. And I praise him for that. Why? Because I hear of your faith in him and your love for others. And that means you have received all these blessings in faith, and it is showing as fruit in your lives, as love to others. Now that's a prayer worth praying, isn't it? To praise God and give him thanks for his work in others, seen in their faith and love for others. Paul is praising God for the gospel because he can see the work it's doing in the lives of Christians, which is evidenced by two things here: faith in Christ and love for God's people, or love for others. What attracted Paul's reaction or his prayer was that he saw God's work in the lives of others by their faith and love. And so what are we to see and learn from Paul's prayer here? We are also called to love, praising God and thanking him, not just because of all the blessings that we have in Christ, but that it isn't only limited to us, but that others are coming to faith and growing in it, which can be seen by their love for others. So the first point that we can pray together is we are to pray with uplifting praise and thanksgiving for the gospel at work in us and others. We are to pray with uplifting praise and thanksgiving for the gospel at work in us and others. Let's move on to the second point. Paul prays that they would know God better. How do you get to know someone better? You add them on Facebook? You quarantine them for friendship by stalking their Facebook? And then you engage that person for friendship, either by chat if you're still unsure if they're a little bit, or you can meet up in person. But my guess is the real getting to know would probably happen when you begin to actually catch up or you chat online. Why is that? Because there's an exchange of personal information going back and forth and views that are being exchanged. Whether it be your interests, or cats and dogs doing adorable things, or both, there is information being exchanged. But what we'll see in verses 17 to 19 about how we can get to know God better is different to the way we can know about each other. So how about we read from verses 17 to 19? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. It looks like Paul is praying for two things, but in fact, he's praying for one: knowing God better. And knowing God better is tied to knowing the hope he calls you to. This in turn also means that receiving the spirit of wisdom and revelation is the same as the eyes of our hearts being enlightened. So to break it down simply, knowing God better is seeing him with the eyes of our heart that have been enlightened by the Spirit. What does this look like? Being enlightened by his spirit. It isn't some sort of mystical way of praying. But it's God, by his spirit, lets us know him better through his son. It says in Colossians, he is, Christ is the image of the invisible God, which means the invisible God has made himself visible in Christ so we can know him. How do we know him? By the work of the Spirit. When we hear about who he is and what he has done in the gospel, and the Spirit of the risen Christ enables us to see who he is, what he has done for us, and the hope he has called us to. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So when we pray, we are to pray for ourselves and others to know God better by opening the eyes of their hearts by the Spirit to see Christ. We are to pray for others, ourselves and others, to know God better by opening the eyes of their hearts by the Spirit to see Christ. Let's move on to our third and final point. Paul prays that they would understand that God's work through Christ fills us to pray. And that's found in verses 19 to 23. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. What does the power of God that raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, not only in this age, but in the one to come, and God placing all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way, have to do with prayer? Well, we can take two things here. The supremacy of Christ far above all things is being shown. The supremacy of Christ far above all things is being shown. And secondly, the supreme Christ is head over us, the church, and his fullness fills everything. What does this mean? Well, let's break it down. I think the first question then is, what does the supremacy of Christ have to do with prayer? We read that the death, the resurrection, and ascension of Jesus gives him authority and supremacy to be seated at the right hand of God, far above all things. You name it, he's above it, irrespective of the time spectrum. So he really is supreme above all things. And that means you and me too. And so knowing the supremacy of Christ of all things, including yourself, places you as a Christian in the best standing in life. And of course, also in prayer. Why? This Christ who Paul has praised and thanked for his work in uniting us to Christ by his Spirit, who has opened our eyes to see him for who he is, this supreme Christ is the one that is attracting us and causing us to react. It should fuel your prayers with a greater zeal, because you, Christian, who is united to the supreme Christ, share in his death, share in his resurrection, of which you have died with and been raised with, is now sharing with you. Christ is sharing who he is with you. The supreme Christ over all creation is sharing who he is with you. And so this naturally progresses to his being the head over the church and his fullness that fills everything in every way. The Supreme Christ who shares himself with you, all his blessings which you receive by faith because the Spirit has opened your eyes to his supremacy, is also promising you as the head that nourishes the body, which is us, the church. He's going to grow us, strengthen us, give us life. Life that is full, not because of what you do, but because it is who you are connected to. Or in this sense, as the body, the head you are connected to is actually filling you. It's giving you life. It's nourishing you. And that's why Paul in Colossians would say, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You see, when the Supreme Christ causes you to see him for who he is, he has begun to open your eyes to not just see who he is, but what he also shares with you and what that means for you today and tomorrow and the next and the next and the next till eternity. He offers you himself. So when we ask, what does the supremacy of Christ have to do with prayer? It has everything to do with prayer. It secures who he is to share what he is to people who were once dead and blinded to him, who were once chasing dark shadows that looked like a flicker of light. As Colossians would say, he has now delivered us from this domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, our prayers are based upon the Supreme Christ fully sharing himself with us. And so when we praise and thank him for his work in us and others, that starts to make perfect sense. To praise and thank the one who is above all, even ourselves, at work in us and others. That's a good prayer. And that would also mean our prayers based on the Supreme Christ fully sharing himself with us. So when we pray that we ourselves and others would know him better, would make perfect sense as well. To know this Supreme Christ for who he is, all his attributes, his holiness, his power, his love, his justice, every attribute Christ shares with us becomes sweeter than the last, like a small tree that ripens its fruit daily. It gets sweeter by the day. And so if you are a Christian who shares faith in Christ and has love for others, you are called to pray not just for yourself, but others also, that Christ would open their eyes to know him better. And what a prayer that is. So let me summarize our three prayer points. Number one, we are to pray with uplifting praise and thanksgiving for the gospel at work in us and others. Number two, we are to pray for ourselves and others to know God better by the Spirit, to see Christ. And number three, we pray that the supremacy of Christ would be the foundation for our praise, thanksgiving, and request to know him better. Now, those are some powerful prayer points, but they sound very dry in this list form. But you can be assured they're full of power because they are full of Christ. Our prayers, you and me, full of Christ because he is actively filling us. It should leave us shaking with a sort of excitement, shouldn't it? But let me be honest here and say that I can't say that this is my daily feeling when I come to prayer, nor how I feel about God every day, or that my prayer life is somehow extremely vibrant as the way I preach. But I will say that it does not change the truth that is offered to all of us here. The supremacy of Christ and his sharing of himself to us should cause an attention, should grab our attention to cause a reaction in ourselves But just because you and I, because we are sinful, we love to suppress these truths. And in doing so, we can live weeks, we can live months, we can live years without prayer that sees Christ for who he is. And so this passage, through this passage, you and me, we are being invited to come under the rule of the supreme Christ who will fill your life by sharing who he is. To come back to the sweet prayers that you once had when you first heard that gospel that brought you to faith, to see Christ, to enjoy him by his Spirit. And as Psalm 23 says, your life would then be overflowing with blessing because you see who Christ is to you. The supreme God who has made himself known to you by his Son. It is the hope that prayer becomes a bringing of the Christian to what they were made to enjoy. Like when the roots of a dried tree touches the flow of a rushing river. It is deeply to the core, to the root, this water becomes satisfying, and it is so powerfully satisfying that the tree would know it was made to place its roots there. Just like the tree, the Christian whose heart has been opened to see the immeasurable and riches of Christ will love to stay there in these truths. And I'm praying that this is at work in us all. Let me share a story with you. When I first became Christian about 5 years ago, a young man with Asperger's came to me. His name was Phil. Some of you may have heard this story last year at the prayer workshop, but I'll say it again because it's a great story of Christ's work. A guy named Phil who had Asperger's joined our church. He would sit in the corner by himself. I tried to say hi and he would just kind of look at me and go back to his corner. He didn't talk with anyone. He just sat in the corner during services. We would sit next to him and he wouldn't acknowledge us. And he came for weeks. He came for months. He would do the same thing, sit in the corner. But then one day he started drawing. And he started drawing. And I came over to have a look at what he was drawing. And it was some pretty scary stuff. He had scribbled all these things with black and red ink. When the kids came to have a look, they would be scared to look at his pictures. There was some pretty scary and dark things that were going on inside him that he was expressing through his art. But as he sat over the months in service, I tried to reason the gospel to him lots of times, and that would just kind of, it wouldn't go anywhere. He would just talk to me about basketball instead. That was just kind of where our conversations went. But as time passed over the months, I noticed one day he had a different set of pencils next to him. And it was a colored set of pencils. And he started to draw nature. He started to draw life. He started to draw like birds and flowers and trees. And colors started to fill his pages. And so one day when he left his sketchbook and he walked away, I quickly had a look in his Bible. And inside his Bible, it was just underlined. The whole Bible seemed to be underlined. He had been reading by himself, just going through it all. And so when he came back to sit down, I knew God was opening his eyes to see himself. I couldn't reason the gospel to him, but I'd been praying for him. A lot of people had been praying for him. And so one day I asked him, I said, Phil, what's changed? And he said, in the way he speaks, he goes, hey, bro, I got to tell you this, right? God says he loves me for who I am. You know this Jesus guy? He died for our sins. It's like, Phil, you don't need to die for your sins. I'll take your place. Who does that? I don't care. And he said this to me. He said, I don't care about my way anymore. I'm going to do it his way now. A guy who couldn't have the gospel reasoned to him is now telling me the gospel. The guy who could only see through black and red began to see all of life that Christ gives, all the colors, all the light, all that there is just flowed in. And what's the reaction to that? Praise God. Makes you praise God, doesn't it? Makes you thank Him that He is at work in us and in others. It makes you pray for others to see who Christ is as well. And that's what Ephesians 1, 15 to 23 wants for us to. That we share the joy of knowing Christ with others by praying for them. How about I pray? This is a Paul of prayer, a prayer of Paul in chapter 3, Ephesians. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.